Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.
Well, this sermon, each year we do it a little differently, but we reflect back on 2023, and I'll just be honest with you. Every year I find this to be the most challenging sermon, but also one of the most encouraging throughout the year. Challenging because I'm afraid of what I call rancisms. I say I'm not exegeting a text. We're kind of just going through and reflecting back and talking about it. There's no notes, you know. I try to really pray about communicating this sermon well, but I'm always afraid of myself kind of getting tongue-tied and getting lost and rambling. So I'm constantly just begging the Lord, get rid of the rancisms, like throw them out the door. And then in putting together this sermon each year, I find it also so encouraging because we look back and we see these glimpses and of what God has done in our lives and how he's ministered to his people, but also through his people. And it's meant to be very empowering to each of you, and how God speaks to you in his own way is between you and him, but it's also meant to be inviting to other people that are here now, but you weren't here a year ago. And so let's get started. If someone was talking to you about, hey, how was 2023? How was your year? There is a tendency within us to first think of the bad things or the hard things. And so maybe think for a moment, why is it easy to recall struggles and hardships? Why is it that those hardships somehow just seem to be at the forefront of our minds and they jump out at us? Well, I'm not really going to answer that question, but I want you to think about it, because the longer we continue to share church life together, the more I come to realize that it's struggles and hardships that will either be stumbling blocks to our faith or stepping stones in our faith. Whether they're big or small struggles, they all have the potential to just cause someone to just step back and step away and just, it's too much, I'm done, I'm out, he hurt my feelings, or this happened, and why would God allow this? And so maybe for some people, 2023 was a year of just stepping away from God and the church altogether. But then for other people, and this is always our prayer as a church, the struggle and the hardship, no matter how big or small, becomes this testimony. And so if I asked you, how was 2023, and maybe you begin to talk about the struggle, by the end of the conversation, you're weeping or you're praising God and you're just talking about how God showed up. You were in a financial crisis and God showed up. You were personally struggling maybe with your physical health and then God did this to you. Maybe you were going through an emotional or a spiritual crisis, and God put people in your life from the church to minister to you. And by the end of the day, you were just left speechless and in awe, not of the person, but of God working through the person. And maybe for some, this year was a year where there was a funeral in your life. And that funeral, or maybe those funerals, were loved ones, friends, or family members. And then during the Thanksgiving and Christmas season, you just felt, you missed them. And it was very hard. Well, can I encourage you today that through every struggle and hardship, God wants to show up and to minister to you. And it's the relationships and the ministries and the life that we share together in the church is what allows us to have someone to talk to. It's what allows us to have someone to pick up the phone and say, look, I'm going through this. Will you just pray? And when you look back in 2023, do you have that person in this church body, in this room? Because if you don't, I pray that that changes in 2024. I pray that you, without hesitation, know that you have pastors and that you have people and friends in this church body that you can call upon unashamed and boldly and say, hey, I'm going through this. Can we talk? Can you help me reflect through this or pray through this? Let me give you a word of encouragement. About every time I drive by that church bus sitting out there, I look at that bus and I think, whew, man, we about died in that bus. See, a few months ago, the elders and their wives and our children were all going to Chapel Hill to be with the Thacker family and pray for Luke when he was having surgery to remove the bone that had the cancer. And early that morning, in the wee hours, the unexpected happened, and we're going down the road, just boom, 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 and all of a sudden, we're off on the side of the high of I-40, and we go from running about 70 to running zero and just being thankful we didn't flip off the mountain. And you can kind of tell the picture on the left, it's dark, and then the picture on the right, it's daylight. We sat there for a good couple hours, and it was a challenging moment. It was fascinating because we're right in the middle of Ecclesiastes, that sermon series, when this happened. And I take a picture, and I'm texting Ethan, and I'm like, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And but then in a very real way, every 18-wheeler that comes by us just shakes the whole bus, because you got the guardrail on one side, and then you can see we're like 2 feet off the highway. And I'm thinking, man, if one person spills their coffee, if one person is kind of just texting or drifting away, all the elders, their wives, and their children are gone. So I'm texting Ethan, and it's kind of funny, but at the same time, I'm being very serious. I'm like, look, in case we go down this morning, you're ready. Pastor the church well. Make disciples. Train up new leaders. And it's kind of funny, and as we look back now, we kind of laugh, but at the same time, I'm like, that's what Ecclesiastes was telling us. Everything changes. And we know this in just a second. And all of our lives change. And so we're there a couple hours later. This awesome mechanic comes by. He changes out the tire. He has to leave. And then he comes back again. And so we're hugging him. We're high-fiving him. And I look and I'm like, ain't no way. Ain't no way. And I'm like, man, we got to take a selfie together. Because right there on his shirt is his name. And his name is, I don't know if you can see it, but his name is Big E. Big E. Now, I'm just going to tell you, his name wasn't Ecclesiastes. But I was like, this is just too cool right now in the moment, because we're dwelling on life as a vapor and we could all die. And just, you know, you kind of heard that for 12 weeks, right? Life is a vapor. You're going to die. You can't change it. And make the most out of your life, because tomorrow you may not be here. So we took a selfie, but it was to capture the moment that in our unexpected struggle and stress and hardship, God ministers to his people. And God writes stories in our pain, and God draws us closer to himself. And he says, I'm still here, and I've got more things to do. So kind of with that idea in mind, I want to give you a word of encouragement from Psalm 63. Maybe this spurs you on in your New Year's resolution. Maybe you're not a New Year's resolution person, but this spurs you on anyway as we jump into 2024. Let's start with one verse. Please stand with me looking at Psalm 63 in reverence and honor for the reading of God's holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible word. Verse 1 says this, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you know every struggle, every hardship, every moment where we took a step forward in our faith or stumbled in our faith in 2023. Yet here we are today. You have more to do and more to teach us. And so we ask this morning that your spirit would minister through your word and through the celebration of 2023 in a way that is empowering and convicting and inviting to all people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's really no better way probably to start off 2024 than just saturating ourselves in the application of Psalm 63, verse 1. If you actually had this opened up in your Bible, you would notice above verse 1 and the heading says, a Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. The picture is from the book of 1 or 2 Samuel, it's either when David is running for his life from King Saul, or it's from 2 Samuel 15 when David is running for his life from his own son, Absalom, who wants him dead so he can become king. Either way, that's a very hard, difficult, unimaginable situation to be in. And so while David is not in the sanctuary, but out in the wilderness, in the hardship, in the struggle, this is the cry of his heart. You are my God. I'm still out here and I'm still looking for you. So I want to pause and say, our prayer is that this church would always be equipping us to do three things, and we're going to kind of flesh these three things out throughout this message. That is to seek God no matter what, to serve God no matter what and no matter where you are, in the sanctuary or out in the wilderness running for your life, and then to always be supportive of servants of God. That's what the church is about, and that's what I want us to reflect on for a moment. Think first for a second of this verse, and think about the declaration that David is making that we can all make every day. Oh God, you are my God. It's a declaration that no one else gets my worship. Only you. No one else has my heart, my love, and my life. It's you. That's a declaration that'll get you through 2024 in a really good way. And then he makes a dedication. He says, early will I seek you. Lord, I am going to dedicate time to seeking you. Not social media, not the bowl games, not my finances. You're the priority. You're number one. Early I will seek you. I want to wake up every day and I want to go after you. That's his dedication. And then look at his desire. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. I'm hungry. But it's you that I hunger for more than the food that my belly craves. I'm thirsty, but it's you that I'm thirsty for. You're my desire. If we go into 2024, with that attitude, awesome things are going to happen in your personal life and through the life of the church. And so he says this, I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. The idea here is David is remembering what it was like in the sanctuary where he witnessed the power and the goodness and the glory of God. But now he's not in the sanctuary, but he knows the power and the goodness and the glory of God are still attainable and available in his life. We pray that what happens here always overflows into your home, your life, your school, your team, your family, your children, your spouse, everyone you come in contact with, or we're not being successful as a church. So each year we give out a prayer magnet, and if you were here last year, you got one of these. Next week, Ben will go over our 2024 prayer requests, and the first one is always focused on the individual, just you as a person. And last year's request was that our hearts would be captivated by God's wisdom. And we focused intently on God's wisdom because of our sermon series and where God was leading us. I want you just to pull back for a second. I want you to think for the next little bit how if a person said, I want to know God, devote myself to God, and grow in God's wisdom, and I want to see his power and glory, and I want to serve him. I want you to, in the next few minutes, just step back and think of the opportunities and the availabilities that this church, through the people, has to offer anyone that would have that hunger and desire. In the last 12 months, quarterly, 12 weeks at a time, our Sunday school classes have covered these topics. The names of God, understanding your spiritual gift, what it looks like to choose peace for your life, Christ in the Old Testament, a parenting book called The Intentional Father, the Gospel of John, a very highly loved class called Spiritual Warfare, Rediscovering Sabbath, and then in the last 10 or 12 weeks, Point Man, How a Man Can Lead His Family, Titus 2, Women Mentoring Women, and Discovering Who God Says I Am. You just step back and think in 12 months, what it's like to really give yourself to each of those studies. Now, I realize there's a lot of people who serve in the nursery or serve in Kids for Christ, and they miss out on all of those or half of those. But they're giving themselves, they're giving into something much greater. They're giving parents the opportunity to have an hour or two separated from their child so that they can focus in. So according to the Word of God, you are being rewarded. You're giving in to something much greater because you're giving somebody this opportunity. But that those are life-changing studies. Those reshape how you live your life and how you interact with people. In the last 2 years, I'm going to say 2 years because our study of wisdom has been for 2 years, we've went through the first 10 chapters of the book of Proverbs, and then after that, we went through four series from the book of Proverbs, one that focused on managing or having financial wisdom, another that focused on friendships and having friendships that incorporate the wisdom of God, and then another one that talked about wisdom with the words that we speak, speaking life into people, and then another series that was wisdom for the family. And it, you remember it began with singleness and how to have wisdom and honor God in singleness, and we moved to dating, to marriage, and then to parenting, and so forth. We've went through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the entire epistle of the book of James, Ecclesiastes, and then recently the book of Job. That's all wisdom literature. Anybody feel wise? But when you step back and think about it, if we give ourselves, if we come to each of these sermon series hungry and thirsty, reading the text the day before, the morning of, or the week of, before it's preached on, because that's where the Holy Spirit led us, and we put out a sermon outline, you're going to get more from that sermon than just coming and kind of discovering what the text was for the first time that morning. It's going to happen. And I want you to know, and I don't know that I've really shared this before from the pulpit, but each and every week, pretty much 52 weeks of the year, we take this time in the Word of God very serious. And many years ago, we requested that we could have weekly sermon reviews. That each and every week when someone speaks from this pulpit, on Wednesday around 2 o'clock, he's going to be getting critiqued, rebuked, edified, and encouraged in several different ways from a group of men. It looks like this Wednesdays at 2 o'clock. You got Ethan and Volley and Colin and Ben and Mike Ramsey, and often Tim Palmer is there, and Hunter came to this one when I took the selfie. But just to give you a picture, this setting is one of our most valuable times spent throughout the week, because we all know that we're very prone to give you a big dose of our opinion, which doesn't mean a hill of beans, rather than the Word of God. And we don't want to consume your time and waste your time and mislead you or distract you. So every week, and sometimes there's things that's just hard to hear, but you just need it. We're being critiqued about, maybe were we in context? Did we communicate that clearly? Did we get tongue-tied? Did we get too lost in details? And this has been one of the most iron-sharpening iron kind of times that we've had from year to year. And if you're ever interested in sitting in on one of these sermon reviews, just let me know. And that's what Hunter did. That's what Dawson did. And it's a great and wonderful time. And so David goes on in Psalm 63 to say this: because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. So pause again right here and just think. He's in the wilderness running for his life. When you go through a struggle and a hardship, is this still the wisdom? Is this still the cry of your heart? Lord, I'm neck deep in it, and I don't know what you're going to do, and I don't know how you're going to do it. My heart's broken, and I'm hurting. But I know that more than the hardship that this life is giving me right now, it doesn't change the loving kindness that's available to me. That's where David's at. That's where we want everything we do as a church to be fueling you, because the reality is no one on fire for Jesus or not on fire for Jesus goes through life without hardships and struggles and battles. And so we want to be ministering in a way that helps you to praise the Lord. So now as we move through what he has done in 2023, there is much to praise him and to thank him about. I want you to see how much time and energy this takes from different people. but it's creating a culture where these opportunities to grow and to praise God like this in the wilderness and in the trial is available. And let me just say up front, nothing about these pictures are meant to uplift an individual, only God. And it's impossible for these pictures to capture everything that everyone has done behind the scenes or in different rooms. It's just giving a glimpse of how awesome our God is at work in the life of His church. So currently, we have six different discipleship groups or life groups that are meeting from week to week and getting together in homes. Sometimes these groups are discussing and reflecting on what was preached on that week. And so I would pause and challenge any of those groups. When you come to that group, are you coming to be fed? Or are you coming also knowing that you bring something else to the table for someone else in the room? We want this to be a time where you ask questions. You've given thought to the sermon or the text, and you're coming hungry, you're coming eager to share what you've learned and how God spoke to you, but also excited to ask questions and dig deeper and challenge other people in the room. Other groups meet and study different curriculum and different books of the Bible, always trying to challenge and help each person to grow in their walk with the Lord in hopes that they will then be able to do that with other people. If we could go upstairs to the youth room and see it just full of teenagers on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. I mean, for those of you that are maybe 30 and over, did you have a youth group that met that way? I mean, I see heads all over. Do you think it would have changed your life as a teenager to have had men and women like this? Here you are serving us the spaghetti dinner and doing a fundraiser. But just, you look at these eight leaders, and some of these are new faces, and some of these faces have been there for several years, but getting together, praying, seeking, asking the Lord to guide them so that they can do well in ministering to our teenagers and raise up the next generation. It's powerful. It's life-changing. I often wonder, what will those teenagers one day testify life was like for them just through the youth group and the youth ministries at the church? And then if we went upstairs from week to week to our Kids for Christ classroom, ages 6 through 11, they just finished up their study, their long study of the Old Testament in 2023 and have recently started going through the New Testament. There's a lot of energy. If you ever have a Sunday school class upstairs, you hear the energy down the hallway, don't you? But those teachers and servants are pouring into those kids. I wonder what those kids will one day testify about. I wonder if they will ever say, well, you know, growing up in church, we went and we sat down and we were told to open up, and then the teacher kind of just talked like this for the next 45 minutes. And it's not happening. There's so much passion and energy up there. And then if you go downstairs to the 3 to 5 year old classroom, and it just continues to grow, and they're full of excitement, and they're learning what it looks like to then begin to sit and talk about the Bible and have discussions and manage that energy, and they're getting ready for what's next. And then if you swung by the nursery, you would see several individuals that are different from week to week and month to month, all serving, changing diapers and wiping snotty noses, making themselves available so that other people can sit and soak in the Word. Throughout the summer, now I got to be honest, this is the one summer I didn't take a single picture. So this is a 2022 picture. I'm not even going to deny it. I'm not going to even try to pretend. But from week to week during the summer, we want to be a church that's saying we want to get together and we want to have fun. We want to build relationships. We want to invite unchurched friends, and we want to create an atmosphere where people can hang out, talk, play games, and just have a relationship during the summer that changes maybe how we interact through the rest of the year. And if we slid into that 3-day vacation Bible school scenario, we had 68 or 69 kids all 3 days this year. It was just out of control, but under control, just wild and full of excitement this year as we studied three passages from the book of Acts and how the apostles lived fearless and devoted to the Lord Jesus. And so maybe some of the kids can find themselves. They're divided up into three age groups. And just what I want you to see here is it takes almost as many adult servants as it does children to actually to make this happen. And if you could swing outside to Bible land, what you would see is some pretty incredible acting going on out there. You got Paul and Silas in jail there. You got King Herod slaying. King Herod killed somebody about every night, actually. But what the kids are witnessing is the Bible isn't just something we sit down and talk about and fall asleep. It becomes alive. It's alive. God's word is living and active. And they're seeing a whole plethora of adults that are so excited to take time and act these things out and talk to them about it and make crafts and play games and serve food and, again, watch the nursery and stand on the stage and sing and worship and express a love and a passion for Jesus. That plants seeds, y'all, in the lives of children that cannot be taken away from them no matter what direction they go with their life. They can look back and say, you know what? I had a church family that was so excited to pour their lives into me growing up. And then we have, I'm so thankful for this, different groups, different life groups that throughout the year and this fall that go and do home visits, that go and minister to those that can't really get out of the home and come sit here beside you from week to week. And then have a word of encouragement and a word of prayer with different folks that are shut in and that are getting close to their time of meeting with Jesus. Priceless to the kingdom of God. And then we have women's ministry that meets on Sunday nights. It's called Renew. And that if you're not a part of that and you're interested and you're a female, talk with Sharla. But just you notice in all these different scenarios that a lot of what we do is broken into small groups of 5 or 8 or 10. And that's because as a church, it's impossible for us to share life with everyone. But in getting together in those small groups like Jesus and his disciples, we can be real, we can have an environment that's safe, that's personal, and that's transparent, and that changes how you live your life for the Lord Jesus. We had this year our 8th annual men's ministry adventure out at Rattler Ford. I think 56 men is what ended up coming. And what's so fun about this picture to me personally is there's no one just scrolling through the internet saying, oh, look, a men's ministry trip. I think I'll sign up for that. Every person that's a part of this trip from year to year and that's new each year is there because of a relationship. It's there because someone else who went the year before came and said, man, let me tell you about this 3-day trip and what we did and what we studied and all those different things. I'd love for you to come this year. And they come. And one of the really awesome things that God did this year, and there was many, but the one I wanted to encourage you with today, was we had a young man to testify. He testified in front of the teenagers. He testified in front of the oldest of people about where his life was and what God did through not just the church, but individuals that were going outside of the church to minister to him. And then he became a part of it. And then he trusted Christ. And then we went down into sub 40 degree water and baptized Cruz. And it was awesome to hear his testimony and to just witness this. I don't care how cold the water is. I want to tell the world I'm following Jesus. But what makes this trip happen from year to year? And this is Scott's tent set up with just all the cooking and cook teams and people serving and small groups meeting in the mornings to study and do devotional time, then others going hiking. It's not one person. It's so many people. It's the Holy Spirit at work through the life of his people, ministering and serving at the capacity in which he gives them and leads them, and then lives change, and then people go back home, and we hope that their family and friends get the overflow. What about this? What if we could go back a year ago to this picture that was taken in December of 2022? And this long prayed for and thought of and much needed life center. And then you begin to fast forward and you see it changing in 2023. You see, do you remember whenever you were getting those text messages like every week, hey, there's a work day this Saturday if you have 10 minutes or 3 hours? And it almost became like, okay, yeah, there's a work day. But there, how do you put into value what it means that people in this church body take the time and the energy to say, this is something this body needs. And God's going to do an awesome thing through this facility because he's doing it through his people first. And people are showing up all throughout the week and on Saturdays to cut, to build, to paint. And then a year later, we have a life center. And you think, man, Lord, you did that. We just had our 2023 first ever church Christmas party in the life center. I don't know how many of y'all showed up that night, but it was like elbow to elbow. And it was like, hey, do we need to build another one? I'm just kidding. But it was just, it was awesome. So many people standing up and singing praises to God, others serving with games and face paintings. And then, I don't know if you heard, Volley and Astera sing, but it was like, my word. The games for the kids and the adults and just people making memories. And then y'all that did your face painting, man, I don't know how you didn't run out of face paint. You were over there face painting for like 3 hours. But isn't it fascinating that in the smallest of ways, people leave that night saying, love my church family. Love my church family. And just we're ministering and growing together. And then, well, yeah, Cody and Caleb got up and sang. That was fascinating. That was awesome. And look, maybe you go through all those things and it's not, and you're thinking, that's not my thing. And here, there was another year where Scott and Carol are serving at Truett Camp. They're serving in Wyoming. They're serving in West Virginia. They're serving down in Florida. I mean, the opportunities here to serve the Lord Jesus are available. Scott and Carol, y'all going to quit anytime soon? No. Till you meet Jesus. So, I mean, it's awesome to see what he's doing. And I don't even have time to testify of the people who came to Christ and trusted him for salvation, the baptisms, and we have 8 or 9 more baptisms next Sunday, the people that joined and became a member of this church, all the one-on-one meetings. Look, if you've never been to King Cafe, like right in the middle of the day, you walk into King Cafe almost any time of the week, and there's like 2 or 22 First Baptist Church people sitting face to face with the Word of God open, like, don't interrupt. You can tell they got something going on. Doing accountability, having prayer with one another. Man, can you just raise your hand if you got married this year? Woo! A few of you. So exciting. If you gave birth to a baby in your family this year, where are you at? Just raise your hand. Right here, a few of you. Yeah. Just recently, the Carpenter family, and like 4 days ago, the Grant family birthed another boy. There's so much to celebrate. And you know, in the middle of our prayer magnet for 2023, our prayer request was that we would grow in using our unique God-given gifts and talents to serve others. And so as I went through this and just kind of just sat back in my chair and just had a moment, this is what the Lord brought to my mind. What if no one, just fill in the blank. What if in the church there was no one who wanted to serve? No one would be served. What if there was no one who wanted to give of their time, their energy, or their financial resources? Nothing we just looked at even happens. What if no one said, I'm hungry and thirsty for the Word of God. I'm here to serve, to greet people, to teach the word, to love on the kids, to wipe snotty noses, to show up early in the tech booth and get all that going, to turn on the lights and the heat and the AC and make the coffee and the donuts. Actually, let me just talk about the coffee and donuts for a second. One of our heart's desires with the coffee and donuts on Sunday mornings is that, you know, if you've ever experienced what it's like to be rushing to church on Sunday morning and like you're dragging kids to the car and you're running 80 to get here and you're pulling into the parking lot like sideways, you know, kind of thing, looking for a parking space. A few of you experienced that this year. One of our desires is that the coffee and donuts would be an encouragement for people to come early. Let's just throw a number out there. I know this is risky. I know it's risky. It's not legalistic, but just 9:15, 9:30. And the goal is to create an atmosphere now in this fellowship hall where people can come with their families, with their children, and sit down with other people in the church and just take a breath. Before you go to Sunday school, before you start serving, before you... And we want to really remove the pressure to rush and to hurry. Good morning, how's it going? It's like handshake, gotta go. And it's happening. It's so fun to see people saying, hey, let's meet 30 minutes before church starts and let's just catch up on our week. That's a lot of what that's for. But what if no one did that? What if we showed up one Sunday morning and just... No coffee was made. No lights are on. There's no one. We can't watch your kids. There's no one serving. There's actually no Sunday school. There's no one ready to teach. There would be no church. We need to think about what an awesome thing it is that God is doing through his people here. Willing and able givers of time and energy and resources. Now, just this is, only to think how near and dear this is to Jesus' heart. In Luke 12, Jesus said this, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning active. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master. And when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. They're there. He said, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find not passively waiting, but actively watching and serving. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords takes every little detail that every individual does, big or small, as very significant because of what it does to the whole. He says, but look, if he should come in the second watch or in the third watch in the middle of the night and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, if the master of the house had known that the hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. In other words, he's living life idle. He's disconnected. He's not watching. He's doing his own thing. He says, therefore, you also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. If 2023 was a year where maybe you're just kind of hanging on and maybe breezing through, let that change in 2024. If 2024 is the year that he comes, let him find the church. You and me and us individually and then together corporately. Serving him, devoting, making those sacrifices because he is coming. And the last thing I want to close with is our prayer this year was that we would do well supporting other servants of God, serving alongside Emmanuel Baptist Church and build God's kingdom together. We see this all throughout the book of Acts. Here's Emmanuel Baptist Church out in Kinston, North Carolina, a good 6 or 7 hours away. Here are the Thacker family and the Klein family. If you're new to the church, we talk about these families often. There's baby Leo that was born in 2023 to the Klein family. But the 2023 year for the Thacker family, as many of you know, was a very difficult and challenging year, but a year where they can testify that God has done great things. They spent the majority of their year at Chapel Hill Hospital with their second son, Luke, as he was being treated for bone cancer. And this picture just captures what so many people did, going out there, visiting the family, praying with the family, letting them know We're in Robbinsville and you're in Kinston, but we're still here. We're still praying. We're still supporting you. We've not forgotten about you. And others went to Duke this year because the Klein, Frank and Charlena Klein's, Frank's brothers being at Duke, being treated with his cancer. And then other people in the youth group went out and met with Emmanuel Baptist Church. And as a youth group, you ministered to them. Work teams went out and did projects at Emmanuel Baptist Church and ministered to them. And David told us not that long ago that the church has said this. If we as a church could ever get to the place where we could go and do this for another church, that would mean everything to us. That's a powerful statement. And it happened because you as a church are ministering to them. And one of the closing highlights of 2023 was the leadership at Emmanuel Baptist requested Frank Klein to come on as their associate pastor and youth pastor. And you remember he was being sent out there to get more ministry experience and to continue his desire, growing in his understanding of ministry and being ready to serve the Lord. And so Frank sat in a room with about 12 or 13 men and was questioned for hours. I would want you to know that we take this so serious. We never just say, well, you're full of the Holy Spirit, go get them, Tiger. If you call and talk to Frank and ask him, this is a very challenging night. We don't lessen the accountability for a minister to stand on the Word of God for the sake of not hurting someone's feelings. We want men to be ready to go and minister to other people in other churches, and we have to go through this. And Frank finished well, and just several months ago, we ordained him into the gospel ministry. So I just want to close this morning by saying, what will 2024 look like? What role will Christ have in our lives? There's so much for us to look forward to and to anticipate as a church. And I find as we're at the end now, that God really doesn't want anyone to miss out. If you're in a place of healing, we want you to stay there as long as you need to be there and heal. We just don't want you to stay there forever. Because God has a way of healing, restoring, and then leading and calling. And as the church continues to grow, so does his equipping and calling on other people to minister and to serve in whatever way he leads you to. And if someone said to me, where do I start? I would say right here. Make a declaration. God, you are my God. Make a dedication. Early, I will seek you. Let this desire carry you all throughout the year. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water, but there's you. And I'm satisfied in you alone, oh God. Let's pray. Father, we celebrate the goodness of who you are. And we ask that your Spirit would move through your people. Lead us each and every day. And when we encounter the struggle, the hardship, and the unexpected, Father, I pray that no individual in this church would be without a friend and without a connection that they can call upon as they call upon you. Fill this church with relationships and lead your people. And let us be a part of participating in the greater kingdom work that you're doing until you call Jesus to come get his bride. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you were encouraged by the teaching of God's Word. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, you can find us at www.robbinsvillefbc.org or call the office at 828-479-3423. God bless you and have a great day.